praying using words from the gradual hymn that we've just sung. Heavenly Father, grant us your Spirit's true illumination to read the secrets of your work on high. And help us to trace the sure unfolding of your age-long plan. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please do be seated. When I started looking at the lectionary readings for today, I ended up having a little chuckle that the theme of creation runs through the readings, and we're reading them on the 12th of February. Your starter for 10. What's the significance? No? If I said 12th of February, 1809. For a clue? No? No. It's actually the... Sorry? 2 days before Valentine's. Yes, that's what Peter's saying. He hasn't bought Elaine a Valentine's card yet. No? No? It is a famous person in history. It's the birthday of Charles Darwin, famous for his book of The Origin of Species and Theories of Evolution, which other scientists have built on since. One of the questions that I'm frequently asked when people know that I either come to church, Christian faith, or wearing a dog collar. Even at a social event last night where I wasn't wearing a dog collar, the conversation got round to, hasn't science disproved the creation accounts of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2? And in the case of those who really want to challenge the existence of God, hasn't science disproved our need to believe in God, whatever form you believe that takes? Now, my standard answer, which I gave last night, is delivered in various ways, but ultimately it's no. It's as simple as that. But we maybe need to unpack that. Because my supplementary answer is that to set science and faith against each other as mutually exclusive is to make a fundamental category mistake. So let's dive in a bit further. We heard that God made a good creation in our reading from Genesis. And Paul tells us that that creation is broken and groans. And we see that around us. Thank you for those of you who's messaged me and said, is my mother okay in Turkey? Yes, she is. Thankfully, we're 1,000 kilometres, which is London to Berlin, away from where the earthquake has been on the Turkish-Syrian border. But we have friends who are missing family. But in many ways, we look around and we see a good creation that is broken, and as Paul says, groans, waiting for God's recreation, when we will be with God in a new heaven and a new earth, because this heaven and earth that we know has been recreated. But let's dive into Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in just those few words, it makes four bold statements. In the beginning, in contrast to Near Eastern myths, there was a time when our cosmos didn't exist. God created at a point in time. God created. God, who, as we read Scripture, the God of Abraham and Israel, and to those who follow Jesus, is Creator. And if God is creator, then he is independent of his creation. In contrast, again, say to Egyptian cosmologies, in which God is just part of creation, or is creation itself. And only God created. The Hebrew word bara, to create, also means to put into right function. The Hebrew reading there isn't necessarily about making, it's about putting into right order. Some of you who were at Think and Drink when I looked at this subject will know, will maybe remember that I gave the analogy of a school. Of when is a school a school? Is it when you have it as a blueprint? Is it when the building is built, it's a school? Is it when the desks and the books have been brought in, and I was going to say blackboard, smart boards, have been brought in? Is it a school then? Is it a school when the teachers are planning all the curriculum? Or is it a school when the pupils are in and it is functioning as a school? All are true. But the Hebrew language, the Hebrew thought, as we go through Genesis 1, Genesis 2, is of things being put into their functioning order, of being ordered. But it's only God that did that. And what he created was the cosmos, the heavens and the earth. That was the focus of God creating. Now, Genesis 1 is not a scientific thesis of God's methodology in creating the heavens and earth. It's not the how, but it is the what and the why. Let me give you another example. I'm having a birthday party. And I tell you that I've gone to the supermarket and I've got some ingredients and I've made a cake and we've put a candle in it and we've turned the lights out and we've taken the cake in and we've embarrassed the person whose birthday it is and we've sung happy birthday in several different keys and several different tunes. Could you reproduce the birthday cake from what I've just told you? No. What do you need to reproduce the birthday cake? A recipe. I told you the what we did, I told you why we did it, but I didn't tell you how we did it. Genesis 1 and 2 is telling the what and the why, not the how. Now, the theologian John Walton suggests that the language of Genesis 1 and 2, understood to the Hebrews, the Israelites, in their way of thinking, is its temple language. It is speaking of how God created a cosmic temple. And a temple is where the deity being worshipped and the worshippers of that deity meet. Does that make sense? You with me so far? Or have you gone back to sleep? It's what we're doing this morning. We're making a temple. We're making a space where God and the people who worship God can meet. The final act when you are making a temple is to put into the temple an icon or an image of the deity being worshipped. So whatever space, a tent, as with the people of Israel, tabernacle, or another space where people come to worship the deity. They put an icon, an image. And what are we told? The image of God, the creator of the cosmos, is humankind. The last act of creation is God saying, "Let us make man in our own image," and putting mankind, humankind, use gender neutral language, into that temple to be the image of the living God. So God created humankind in his image, the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. Maybe a discussion for another time, but Jesus appeals to that creation order of male and female when he talks about marriage. And I'll know my colours to the mast here. I think the College of Bishops are failing us when they appear to have forgotten that in their recent statements and proposals, but that's a discussion for another time. But they were to be, humankind was to be the image of the living God. It's why the Jewish people, the Ten Commandments, no graven image, no image of their God, because they themselves were to be the image. And God, the Creator, continues to be involved in his creation. Psalm 136, part of which we heard today, a psalm of ascent as the pilgrims went up to Jerusalem. And the cantors would have been singing the various things about God, telling the history of Israel, telling the history of creation, how they were then rescued from Egypt, and the refrain, "His mercy endures forever," or in modern language, "God's love never fails." I love Psalm 36 because I can use it as evidence to support anyone that accuses me of liking modern songs that have repetitive lyrics. It goes on for how many verses? "His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever." Did you get the message by the end? God's mercy endures forever. But the penultimate verse says that God gives food to all creatures because his mercy endures forever. I think in some ways that was what Jesus was appealing to in the gospel reading that we had. Now, yes, we hold that intention where we see people in poverty. It's a really tricky one, and I'm not going to unpack that today. You'll be glad to hear. If you want to look at an unpacking of that, ask me afterwards, and I'll send you the text of my sermon from 3 years ago on our gospel passage. But we are children of God, made in his image, to demonstrate to the world and show the world what God looks like. Because we know that the Creator God is involved in the work of recreation and in sustaining his creation. So what of Charles Darwin and his theories of evolution? I'll just say this. He's not answering the same question as Genesis 1 and 2 is answering. It's not answering the how. Genesis 1 and 2 answer the what and the why, which is God is creator. God loves you. If you don't hear anything else this morning, go away hearing that God loves you. God cares for you. And to say that he doesn't is like saying he cares more about the plants in his garden and his pets. To put the gospel reading in very simple language.